There you go. Hello, Nigel. This is a message for you. I trust you had a good holiday. And we all say hello. With a little bit of prompting, Nigel. Well, good morning. We're going to continue in Ephesians. We've been looking at Ephesians 6. Today we're going to be talking about prayer. We'll take communion together, but I thought we'll do that a little bit later. I will maybe talk less and we can pray more and have a time of prayer together as well. And I haven't prepared any prayers, and I just want it to be what the scripture says. But let me just remind us, I know that we've heard this for a few weeks now, but it's good to be reminded. In Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord, Paul says, and mighty in his power, to remind us that it's in Christ that we stand. Amen. And to put on the full armour of God so that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers and the principalities and the authorities of this dark world and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes. And Paul indicates here that not if, but when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. After you've done everything to stand, stand firm then. And he talks about the belt of truth, truth being a belt that's girdled around our waist. And he talks about righteousness being a breastplate that we have protecting our vital organs. On our feet, they're fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, he says, take up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then in verse 18, he concludes this this essay, if you like, this letter that he's writing to us to say, listen, you know, we know who our struggle is against. We know who the enemy is. God's already given us his power dwells within us. He concludes here by saying, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for the Lord's people. He says in verse 19, pray also for me that whenever I speak the words that may be given me, I will preach them fearlessly and make known the majesty of the gospel. Or the mystery of the gospel, should I say. So when we look at this, to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. And I looked at this, and I looked at this for some time, because for many people, they might think that to pray in the Spirit in this occasion is to speak in tongues. But I don't think that's what it's saying here. Because if you read everything that Paul's saying, he says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And we know when Paul teaches on tongues, he talks about it being a mystery. They're known tongues, but not necessarily known to the person that's speaking them. So we can't know the prayers and requests. So when I looked into this, and I ask you to do the same, dig into God's word. I believe what Paul is saying here is, with the help and the unction of the Spirit, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Be led by the Spirit. Be mindful of what God is saying to us, because we can be reminded that it's Christ in us, isn't it? When we became Christians, the Bible tells us that God gave us a deposit of his Spirit, guaranteeing the hope that is to come. A deposit means there's a measure, there's more to come. We have that hope of the fullness of what God wants to give us. So the Spirit of God comes and dwells within us to make our spirits alive with him. Is that true? Yeah. So once we were dead, but now we're alive. So when we say here, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, that's at all times with all kinds of prayers and requests. And sometimes it's good to have a list and pray through those lists. Sometimes it's good to be spontaneous and just say, Lord, you know, show me, guide me, quicken something to my heart. And that can be what I believe Paul is saying here by praying the Spirit. Be led by the Holy Spirit. What is God saying? On a Tuesday, I missed the prayer meeting here on a Tuesday because sometimes it's quiet, sometimes it's loud. If Jean's there, it's normally loud and a bit fractious. But most of the time, but we're led by the Spirit, is what I'm trying to say here. All joking aside, it's where we come together knowing that we have a common purpose to encourage each other and to say, Lord, what are you placing on our heart today? So be mindful. Let's pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Now, be alert. Be alert is to indicate that always be prepared. It's like a good boy scout, isn't it? Always be prepared. Always have your sword in your sheath ready to take it out. Always be prepared. Be alert so that we can pray. And this week in particular, I won't go into details, but we've been the last few weeks looking at the spiritual armour, haven't we? We've been looking at we need to guard ourselves. We need to put up the shield of faith. And whenever, I don't know how it is for you guys, but whenever I hear something and there's a freshness about it, I seem to be challenged in that very area. And I'm so pleased that I don't walk by sight, but I walk by faith. I'm so pleased that I don't look at my circumstances, but I look at him who is over my circumstances. So we're over him, not under him, aren't we? We're over our circumstances. And something was said to me last week, and it really shook me. It really made me doubt myself. It made me doubt, am I who God says I am? Am I doing what God says that I will do? And then when you go into the next part of this scripture, this happened. It says, be alert and keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And then later on that day, two of the Lord's people turned up at my door and did the opposite. They encouraged me. They lifted me up. They edified me. In other words, without knowing the detail of the lie, they came and spoke the truth. So when Paul says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions, there'll be times where you'll be prompted to pick up the phone. There'll be times where you'll be prompted to go and see somebody, to say and to give them a word of encouragement. There'll be an opportunity and there'll be a time where you're just going to stay where you are, whether you're in the car or at the workplace, and God will just place someone on your heart and you'll pray for them. That's what Paul's saying here. Be alert. Be ready to pray. Be alert. Always listening for what the Spirit of God is saying. It says, pray also for me, he says. He makes it personal. He says, pray for me that I may be bold. So when we pray one for another, we can pray for our needs, can't we? We can pray for our concerns. But we can also pray for that boldness, that God will give us that boldness. In Romans 8, verse 26, it says this, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes with us through wordless groans. Scripture talks about the world groaning, this universe of ours groaning. It's when things start to shift and they start to get stretched. And that happens in our lives, doesn't it? It certainly happens in my life, where there's times where I really don't know what to say. Lord, help me. And this morning I woke up and I thought it was raining. I woke up because I thought the rain had woken me up. And I was convinced that it was wet outside. And when I opened the curtains, it was dry outside. So I don't know what it was that woke me up. But as I woke up, I just said, Lord, help. I don't know what it was that was going on within my subconscious. But I'm just saying, Lord, just help. I didn't know what to pray. I didn't know how to pray. But God knew, because the Spirit was working within me, that through that groan, he understands our prayers. So the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will help us in our times of weakness. So when we look at prayer, it's such a big subject. And I know that on the Wednesday study, you've been looking at prayer and other bits. And I think the children are looking at prayer today. And this is still part of that spiritual armor that God has given us. And I know there's been times where I've been in a circumstance. I was in the Czech Republic one year with Ken Stroud and his wife and several others. And I was a young Christian, and a mature man just said, just pray. There's something happening, just pray. And for me, I didn't know what to do. So I just stood up and opened up my arms and I started to pray. And I won't go into details, but some stuff happened in a demonic sense, and the Spirit of God was there to intercede. I didn't know what I was praying, but the Spirit of God guided me. So for you, there'll be times where if you feel, I don't know what to do, Lord, I don't know what to pray, you might have a family circumstance. And let's be real. There are times where our family are far away and we go, God, I can't do anything. But you can. You can, because Jesus intercedes because of sin separates. He intercedes with the Father and says, not guilty. The Spirit intercedes in our prayers so they get through to the Father. The Spirit will intercede. The Spirit will help. The Spirit will guide. So for you and I, let's be encouraged. Jesus himself says in Matthew 26, verse 41, watch and pray so you'll not fall into temptation. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I know that to be true in my life. There's times where I don't feel like praying, but I have that urge to pray. When we was listening to worship, it made me feel sick inside. Not the worship, but the fact that I couldn't put out what was inside. I don't know how it made you feel, in the sense that, yes, this is a great, I wanted to celebrate and sing of this God that we serve. Many years ago, I went, Susan and I, we went on a Christian holiday, and it was very profound. I was a very young Christian at the time, and one of the things they would do is they would give you a task. You'd have an hour, a half an hour to do the task and a half an hour to reflect on what God has said about that particular task. And this day we was told to go out into the garden and walk around. But we must not look at anybody, we must not talk to anybody, and we cannot share with anybody. And I walked into this garden and I saw for the first time at the age of 31 a raindrop hitting a leaf and becoming a perfect small ball and just falling off. And as I looked through this droplet, I could see the colours of the rainbow. For the first time in my life, I'd given myself time to look at the beauty of creation. And when we had a chance to just say one thing about what we experienced, the one thing for me was that I wasn't able to share with anyone else. It was inside and it made me feel sick because I couldn't express it. When Paul says, pray also for me, then we can pray for one another, that we will have that boldness to share the beauty of God's creation and the beauty of what he's given us. Yes, we don't want to fall into temptation, so let's pray. Let's believe that God is in control. So I want to encourage us this morning, as I encourage myself, by just reading one or two scriptures and then having a time of prayer. In Philippians 1 verse 4, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. I always pray with joy. See, the joy of the Lord is my strength. There are times when I think about people, certain people who are going through tough times, I can still pray with joy. Lord, I thank you that this person belongs to you. I thank you, Lord, that Christ that is in them is greater than the enemy around them. I thank you, Lord, that the battle belongs to you. So when Paul is encouraging here that we pray and we pray with joy, that's not because we're happy because the other one's suffering. We are joyous because joy is something that's inside us and it comes out when we communicate with God. So let's be of good cheer. In Philippians 4 verse 4, it says this, rejoice always in the Lord. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Now that's difficult, isn't it? Do not be anxious is difficult. Can you remember when it was said, Lord, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief? It's like that, Lord, I know I shouldn't be anxious. Help me overcome my anxiety. It's the world in which we live in, but we're in the world, but the Bible says we're not of the world. But we're encouraged here not to be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So at the beginning of this portion of scripture, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. It says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. That's a reminder to say God is near us. Is there times where you feel, where are you, Lord? It seems to be me against the world. Well, we're encouraged here by the writer of Philippians to say, God is near. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious. But if you are anxious, by prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then the peace of God will come. For me, and I'm sure it has been for you, there's been times where we have been anxious, where anxiety does come upon us, where the situation does overwhelm us. But we're being told here the answer to the question, when those times come, through prayer, petition, Lord, I thank you that you're in control of my life. Lord, I thank you that this situation is not too big for you. Your arm is around this situation. Lord, I thank you that the answer's on its way. Lord, I thank you that the new weapon forged against me will prosper. Lord, I thank you that every word of accusation that's untrue forged against me will not come to anything because it's under my feet. Lord, I thank you that even though there may be turmoil around me, you give me peace. That's what we're saying here through prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. In Colossians 1 verse 3, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. That's the church. That's us. We should thank God for one another, that we're blessed to be part of a spiritual family. We have numbers here today. We have those that are listening at home that's part of Grace Church. They're just a small part of God's body. We give thanks for one another. We are to be thankful as we pray for one another. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. That's what it means. Lord, I thank you that there are others that are praying for me. I thank you, Lord, that you are holding up the persecuted, that, Lord, you are bringing about light into the darkness. We give you thanks. This is prayer, petition with thanksgiving. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 25, brothers and sisters, pray for us. There's times where we're encouraged to ask others to pray for us. You know, might not know what to say. You know, there might be a circumstance or situation and it's, you just don't want to give anyone any details. Just ring someone up and just send a carrier pigeon or an email if you're up to date. Brothers and sisters, just pray for us. You know, when we get a prayer request, we don't need to know the details, do we? We just need to know that we pray for one another. Why? Because we care for one another. Because we know that God is for us. And if God is for us, then who can be against us? In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always, pray continuously, give thanks in all circumstances. When you read that portion of scripture, do not misunderstand it. It doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. It says give thanks in all circumstances. Remember, I quoted this a little while ago, Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego, they're in the fiery furnace, aren't they? I'm sure they're not going, Father, we thank you for these circumstances. Give thanks in the circumstances. And suddenly it was said through scripture that there's a fourth person in there. Now, we may go through the fires of life. We may go through the storms of life. We're not to give thanks for those storms, although sometimes we can be thankful for them when we come out of them. But when we're in those circumstances, let's give thanks for God. Lord, I thank you that you will help me through. The Bible says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, doesn't it? Not though I walk through the valley, I stop, I camp, I say, woe is me. No, I'm walking through it. There is a situation that we have in lives where it seems difficult. Or am I the only one? Where life is difficult. Where the word of God says that we have the victory. But from reading we have the victory to it being in my heart, sometimes there's a delay. And it's when I pray and say, Lord, I'm in this situation. But you are above this situation. You're in control of this situation. Lord, help me to walk through it. Lord, help me to endure it. Help me, Father God, to see my way out of it. There was some, when we say a word, when someone brings something in season, there was a word given to me many years ago when this man said, Andrew, I weigh this up. I believe the Lord said there's something big coming. You can't go over it. You can't go under it. You can't go around it. You have to go through it. And through I did. And I didn't want to go through it. But Scripture became alive to me. I could rejoice and pray and give thanks in those circumstances, because I weren't going to stay in those circumstances, because I was going through those circumstances and God was bringing me out the other side. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. The one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. I'm going to conclude our message here for those that are listening on tape. So I'm going to say, church, be blessed and be a blessing. We're going to go into a time of prayer and we're going to take communion together. I'll take communion online first and then we'll go into a time of prayer and I'll turn the recording off. Is that okay? Well, Jesus said, didn't he? Do this in remembrance of me. And when we take bread and we take wine or juice, it's to remember what Christ has done for us, isn't it? And as we start these few moments of prayer together, let's be reminded that this bread represents his body broken for you and for me and all those that are listening. God broke for us that we may be mended. In the same way, he took the cup and he said, this is my blood that's been shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The Bible says there is no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. That's why it's significant to be reminded of the gift of grace that God has given each one of us. Amen.